Welcome to another podcast sermon by Northside Christian Church. It is our desire that you will be inspired and challenged in your faith. For more information about our church, please visit northsidecc.org.au.
I believe that God's given me a word this morning to share with you, and I pray that you'll be open and ready to receive God's word. So as Pastor John mentioned, we are starting our supernatural theme for this month, and we're going to be considering, amongst other things, you know, angels and demons, the supernatural part of our faith, the unseen world, and also heaven and hell. And so I've been given the task today to just speak on miracles and prayer. And so turn with me to our text today, which is found in Matthew chapter 14. Are you all alive and well this morning? We've got the real spiritual Jesus-loving people in the house at the 9 a.m. service, amen. You had even less sleep than usual, and you still got here on time, so that's fantastic. You all love Jesus. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 14, pick up this very well-known passage here where Jesus feeds the 5,000. So from verse 14, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a deserted place and the hour is already late.'" I want you to remember that phrase just there. We'll come pick it up later. "This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. 'Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.' But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we stole those off a small boy.' He said, 'Bring them here to me.' And then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up the 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." I want to speak to you today on the topic, Jesus is all-powerful. If you're a note-taker and you like putting titles at the top of your notes, then you can write that down. Jesus is all-powerful. I would like us to begin our supernatural series by considering that the God we serve is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-sufficient, almighty, and yet he cares for us intimately and personally. Amen. I pray that by the end of this message that you would have a greater appreciation and understanding of what it means to be loved and cared for by an almighty God. And so before we go any further today, will you just pray with me just as we begin our meditation upon this? And let's just ask God to speak to us all, shall we? Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it is alive and it is powerful. Lord, I pray right now that as we consider your word and consider your all-powerful and your care and love for us, oh God, I pray that you would speak to each and every heart. Lord, I pray that the Spirit would reveal Jesus to us, oh God, for we know if we see Jesus, we will never be the same. In your name we pray, amen. 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 Now, recent years has seen the rise of what has become known as the one-stop shop. You know, particularly in the US and in the UK where I'm from, you know, these shops, and they're beginning to emerge here as well. The one-stop shop, you know, the types like your Kmart, your Target, and in the US like Walmart as well. They're these one-stop shops which you can get everything that you need. And in the US, it's kind of getting out of control to the point where Target now, this is not big enough, and so they have Target Greatland. And so as well with Walmart, Walmart wasn't big enough, and so they give you Super Walmart, because life was just too difficult in Walmart. It was too constricting and too small in Walmart. We want the one-stop shop. For some reason, we need our shop that we buy our sweet and sour sauce from to also supply us our skinny jeans. You know, the same shop that we buy our, you know, our doorknobs, our nickel-finished doorknobs to also supply us with our knickers. Thank you. This is the last time, first and last time I preach at Northside. Anyway, it's got to the point now where you can go to one of these shops and basically build your house from start to finish. You can buy all the wood and all the hardware that you need and all the stuff that carpenters use to build the house. Then you can get all the stuff you need to finish the house, all the stuff you need to paint the house, all the stuff you need to finish and furnish the house. And then you can buy the clothes to clothe the people in the house. And then you can buy the fridge and then the food to put in the fridge to feed the people in the house. We're talking one-stop shop. Everything you need in one place. And what's hilarious is our reaction when we go to these stores and they don't have the one thing that we are looking for. Have you ever done this yourself? You go to somewhere like Target or Kmart or Costco, you know, and they don't have that one thing. I can't believe you don't have the 8-inch green crystal candle holder that matches my green placemats for the new season. I can't believe it. Who's the manager here? Can I speak to a manager, please? Oh my goodness, I can feel my headache coming on. No, in fact, that's a migraine. I can't believe you don't have the 8-inch. You've got the 6-inch, but you don't have the great inch. What kind of a shop is this? You're supposed to be Walmart. You're supposed to be Costco. Can I please speak to a manager? You know, because the truth is that, you know, as much as we're marketed to by these stores that, well, you know, they have everything that we need, in reality, we're probably going to have to shop around a bit in order to find everything that's on our list. You know, some people approach God in the same way. You know, they are cynical and say it's impossible to have a one-stop God even. And so with all the information that's available to us nowadays, you know, at a touch of a button or a flick of a thumb, you know, we start to look around and shop around and pick and choose from multiple sources to see what kind of God that we would like. And recently, one of my work colleagues, who is a self-confessed atheist, and this is at my other job, not here at church. Just clarify that. He said he was reading this book called Religion for Atheists. He said it was fantastic because it took you through all the major religions of the world, and it took out one or two things that an atheist would like that was supposedly good and good for us as mankind. In all the philosophies and all the ideas that are flourishing in the world today, all stem from this idea or concept that people struggle with, that there cannot be one source, there cannot be one ultimate being. But there is good news today, because although we may not have the one-stop shop, there is one God, and in that one God, there is everything that you will ever need for this life. You know, Jesus declares in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Pastor Darren spoke on this a few weeks ago. He didn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, I am a truth or I am a life. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is everything that you need. So I may have to drive to Coles. I may have to go back to Target and then across to Kmart to find everything on my shopping list. But when it comes to my soul, there is only one source, and his name is Jesus. Amen. We see in this passage in Matthew chapter 14 that we just read, the awesome power of Jesus. And we see it in a very peculiar way. You know, after all the miracles that Jesus has done up until this point, you know, where he's healed the lame and the blind and the sick and so on and so forth, and all his awesome preaching and teaching, he comes to this point here, and this miracle deals with the most basic, one of the most basic of human needs, and that is hunger. Do you know that Jesus cares for the hunger pains in your belly? In fact, in the next chapter, in Matthew chapter 15, it tells another story of, in fact, a similar miracle where Jesus feeds the 4,000. And again, the disciples say to him, you know, send the people away because they're going to get hungry. It's amazing how slow the disciples are at learning and picking up on how good Jesus is. Amen? But you know, Jesus says, no, I don't want to send them away because they're already tired. And if I send them away, they might faint along the way. Jesus cares about when you're feeling tired. You know, being a new dad, I feel that I can talk about being tired. You know, I thought that I knew what being tired was before, but I had no idea. And can I just say, go on record and say that I love it when my young adults come to me, my single, unmarried, childless young adults come to me and talk about how tired they are. It's amazing. You know, I'll be just talking to them down here, you know, on a Sunday and just asking them how their week has been, doing the good pastor thing, you know. And you know, they'll say to me, "Oh, man, I'm so tired." They're not on drugs or anything. That's just my impersonation of them. But, you know, they say, "Oh, I'm so tired." And I'll be like, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, they might have done the graveyard shift at Macca's or something that weekend. And so they're like, "Oh, I'm so tired." I'm like, why are you so tired, you know? And they'll be like, "Oh, man, I was up till 4 a.m. Oh, playing video games." I'll be like, "Oh, are you serious? I mean, I was up till 4 a.m., but I had a screaming baby in my arms, and I was starting to bargain with myself as to whether, you know, it's a safe option, whether I can fall asleep standing up holding a baby, if that's an okay thing to do." But, you know, I might struggle with that sympathy, but God cares about when you're tired. It's amazing to the many things that we think God is uninterested in. We think that He is so far from removed from us that He hasn't got time to consider our most basic needs. You know, so many Christians today limit Jesus to just the salvation of our souls, as if He just forgives sins. And the rest of the time we have to struggle through life and, you know, as if He doesn't care. And the only difference between us as believers and the rest of the world is that we know in our hearts that we're forgiven. When in reality, when we look at the life of Jesus as He walked through this earth, He demonstrated that He cared for our most basic of needs. He's a personal God and He cares when you're behind on your bills and you're not sure where your next meal is coming from. He cares when your kids are playing up and they're not listening to what you're saying. And He cares when you can't finish your algebra homework because X equals Y just doesn't make sense, you know. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, it says there, that famous verse, "Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares." It doesn't just say cast the big cares. It doesn't just say to cast the, you know, the big decisions, the big business decisions, or the marriage-threatening issue, or the life-threatening illness. It says casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares. He cares. You know, Jesus cares. God cares. He wants to help you. He wants to minister to you. Jesus is the perfect combination of power and compassion. If Jesus is all-powerful, it means He can minister to all my needs, no matter how big or how small. You know, we could go on and on about this for hours, but then you'd get hungry and I'd have to feed you, and I don't want to feed you, so you can go home and eat. The need that Jesus meets here demonstrates His perfect power. And it's really a result of time and place. The disciples in Matthew 14, verse 15, they say that this is a deserted place and the time is already late. These people are hungry because they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Have you ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time? I remember when I was in primary school, and we were only a small school, so we had to use the public park as our playground. And they used to sort of split the primary school kids away from the high school kids, and so they had one section of the playground for the primary school kids and another section for the high school kids. And of course, as primary school kids, we were desperate to get where the high school kids were because they had this really nice AstroTurf soccer pitch. And so we were desperate to go and play soccer on this pitch. But we knew the rules, and so we never tried to break them. But one day, this a new teacher who came to the school didn't know the rules, and so we were you know, skirting the perimeter of this AstroTurf pitch, just watching the high school kids. And this new teacher comes to us and says, "Oh, you know," he asks us, "why don't you come onto the pitch and play some soccer?" And so we had to explain to him the rules and said we weren't allowed, and we carried on with the rest of our playtime. Only to discover that when we got back to class, we were accused of actually approaching the teacher, asking him whether he could let us on there, even though we clearly knew the rules forbade us to. And so I don't remember we were punished in some way, but what really stuck to me was the trauma of being falsely accused. And I've had a lot of counseling as a result, but and it's all good. But all as a result of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The disciples said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late." These people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And what this story in Matthew chapter 14 tells me is that Jesus is more powerful than time and place. Many people think that that's the summation of all life, being in the right place at the right time. You know, some people are in the right place at the right time, and everything goes great for them. It's just luck. Other people are in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it's not so great for them. I'm just glad that we serve a God that can take people who have been in the wrong place at the wrong time and give them power, purpose, destiny, and a future. And if you've ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time, I want to tell you that there is a God, and His name is Jesus, and He is more powerful than time and place. Someone say amen. There's another story in John chapter 5 of when Jesus went and met a man who had been lame for 38 years. He had been waiting at this special healing pool of Bethesda. 38 years he had been in that same place, waiting for his time. And Jesus comes to the pool on that particular day, and the scriptures actually tell us that there were many people who lay there waiting to be healed, waiting for the angel to come and stir the water so that they could be healed. And Jesus comes along, and out of all the people there, out of all that multitude of people there, he says he picked out this lame man. And it actually says Jesus knew that he had been in that condition a long time. So how long have you had your problem? How long have you been fighting that addiction? How long have you been thinking those thoughts? How long have you been waking up in cold sweats in the middle of the night? How long have you been struggling with that secret fear that you won't tell anyone about? How long has it been for you? Has it been 38 years? You may be asking, if Jesus is all powerful, then why has it been so long? Why hasn't He healed me yet? Why hasn't this addiction gone away? And all of a sudden, time becomes your biggest enemy. Time becomes the loudest preacher in your head. And so now after 38 years, you think that you'll never break free. You think that you'll never get over it. You know, if you were going to break free, it would have happened decades ago. If your marriage was going to improve, it would have improved years ago. If your kids were going to come back to God, they would have come back years ago. If your husband was going to get saved, it would have happened years ago. If I was going to get healed, it would have happened years ago. And suddenly time starts preaching to you that it holds more power over your life than God Himself. How long has it been? Jesus is more powerful than time and place. I want to invite the worship team to come back up as I just want to share a few more thoughts with you. Jesus is more powerful than time and place. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is more powerful than time and place. No matter where you are, no matter how long you've been there, Jesus is more powerful. No matter where you are, no matter how long you've been there, Jesus is more powerful. You might say to me today, but Joel, why? Why, if God is all powerful, have I been laying here for 38 years? Why, if He's so powerful, am I still struggling with this? He could have intervened years ago. I've been coming to church for years and years, and I'm still fighting this. And now you're telling me to hope again. Now you're telling me to expect again. Now you're telling me to believe again that God might hear my prayer, that He might, you know, set me free or deliver me or heal me, that He could restore me. And now I'm going to get my hopes up again and they're going to be dashed. Why has it been so long? Why all the years? I don't know the answer to that question. But I do know this. Jesus is more powerful than wherever you are and no matter how long you've been there. I pray that over the next few days, you would meditate upon that thought. Jesus is more powerful than wherever you are, and no matter how long you've been there. You might be here today and you've never heard anything like this before. You've not known Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But you know that you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you need to change. You don't understand everything that I've said, but you felt something tugging on the inside. And I just want to tell you, that's God drawing you to Himself. Let me tell you that the greatest miracle of Jesus wasn't the feeding of the 5,000. It wasn't the feeding of the 4,000. It wasn't healing that lame man who had been there for 38 years. The greatest miracle of Jesus is that He came from heaven and He came to a sinful earth and He died on a cross for you and for me. And all your hurt, all your pain, all your sin and all your shame was nailed to Him as He hung there in the darkness. And they brought Him down from that cross and they buried Him in a tomb. But this is where the good news gets even better. When God called Jesus back to life on the third day and He walked out of that tomb, He didn't bring all that hurt and that shame and that sin and that guilt with Him. He left it there, buried in that tomb, so that you can walk in newness of life and you never have to carry that ever again. So no matter where you find yourself today, no matter how long you've been there, the same power that raised Jesus from that grave is here today, and it's available to you to cleanse you from every sin that you've ever done and put you in right standing with God. If that's you today, and you want to know this Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you in a moment to just quickly raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I want you to just quickly give me a wave and we'll pray together. One, if you're here today and you say, Joel, that's me. I need a new change. I've been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Two, if you say, God, I can feel you tugging on my heart right now and draw me to yourself. Three, if that's you, just raise your hands just really quickly right now. Just give me a wave if that's you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, thank you. I see your hand back there. Christians praying right now for God to move. If that's you, I don't want to draw this out, but just raise your hands really quickly right now just so I can pray with you. One last time, just raise your hand. Amen. Let's pray this prayer together, shall we? In fact, why don't we just stand right now and pray? Let's repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking the punishment for my sins. Please forgive me. I give my life to you. I make you Lord of my life. And I thank you that you are all powerful and that you have made me a new person today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did pray that prayer for the first time today or as a recommitment to God, I just want to invite you to come down, and there's a pastoral staff here who would love to meet you and pray with you and maybe explain a bit more of the decision that you've just made. But there are others here today, the Christians. You maybe have known God for a long time. You know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. And maybe you've been there for a long time. It may be sickness, it may be addiction, it may be fear, it may be a relationship problem, whatever it is. You could be at the lowest and darkest point of your life. You know, David said in Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What he's describing there is the lowest point of life. But he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the lowest point of life, I know that you're with me. There is no limit to Jesus. There is no limit to his delivering power. There is no limit to his providing power. There is no limit to his saving power. Jesus can save to the uttermost. And if that's you today, I want you to come out of your seats. If you have a need here today and you say, God, I've been in the wrong place at the wrong time. I've been here for a long time and I don't understand why it's taking so long. But God, I know that you are all powerful. I want you to come out of your seats and I want to fill up this altar here of people who want to call on the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Why don't you begin coming out of your seats? If you have a need here today, we want to pray with you and we're going to sing a song that there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. I want you to come out of your seats as we worship and as we sing. And perhaps today you've been in that place for 38 years. You could have been waiting there for Jesus to come along. And you say, God, why has it been so long? I don't know why it's been so long. But today, maybe today, just maybe today could be your moment where you call on the name of Jesus and he answers you. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all sufficient. He is all saving. He is all loving. This is our Jesus. I want us to sing that song. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information about Northside Christian Church, please visit northsidecc.org.au.